Occasionally, when I drive, I listen to the radio station Magic, because it's a station that gives me some nostalgic feelings, you know, because they often play the 50s or the 60s or 70s songs, which don't often found in other radio stations. And recently, they ran a survey among the Magic fans, and they say, who is the most popular singer that you like? Guess, anyone like to guess who might have been? No, I would thought that he might have won, but no. Any idea? No, no. Not even the Beatles or others. No, not right. Even though they are one of my favorite groups. No, Neil Diamond. Any Neil Diamond fans here? Oh, quite a few. Wow. Okay, good. Good, good. Neil Diamond apparently is the most popular. It's beaten the Beatles, the Bee Gees, and whoever else, and so on. Anyway, there's a song sung by Neil Diamond. He has these words, say, she was morning and I was nighttime. You are the sun and I'm the moon. And you are the words and I'm the tune. Wow, sounds a bit cheesy, but that's the type of song sometimes we get in the old days. Yeah, Neil Diamond. And this song is called Play Me. Play Me. Right. This song reminds me of how people are dedicated to one another, committed to one another. I don't know whether when he pens it, whether it's a one-sided story or two-way story. But certainly, the word tells us that this person is very much committed and dedicated to the other person. And it's good to be so. Today, I want to talk about a life dedicated to God. You can get the gist of the different readings we have. Started off with the book of Samuel, where Hannah asked God for a child, and she got a child. And then she dedicated Samuel in serving God, giving him up when he was young age. I don't know, for those who are mothers, who say, well, it's not an easy thing to do, isn't it? To actually dedicate a child so soon after the birth and offer it to God. Not that I don't think that Hannah would not be able to see Samuel, but the whole idea is that Samuel is given back to God in his service. So that's a fantastic, interesting dedication. Then, of course, the book of Psalms, the psalm that we read about how we need to offer praise and thanks to God, it is part of our dedication to the living God that you and I believe in. And then the next one in the book of Peter, I love that passage, especially the part say that we are a holy people, chosen priest, and so on. And that really set for me the whole scene about our relationship with God and who we are in the sight of God and among each other. So that's important. And so that brings us to today's gospel. And I'm not focusing so much the rest of that passage, but the beginning today in the Gospel of John, it tells us, at the time of the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter, because the north-south kind of thing, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So Jesus, according to the tradition, in the Judaism then, he went along to the temple as part of this festival or feast of dedication. Now, the feast of dedication or festival is not a biblical feast, not like the Passover or some other things that we are accustomed with. Well, this dedication or this feast celebrates the purification and reconsecration of the temple of Jerusalem. It's a little bit like what we did a few weeks ago or a couple months ago when we have a celebration here for the work that we have done here. It's a form of dedication to God. Yeah. And this feast of dedication happened in Temple of Jerusalem back in 165 BC. All right, and it was done because it was the temple was desecrated by pagans, and in fact it turned into a pagan cult center using the temple, and so that's why they have this dedication and so on to cleanse the temple of God. Well, this also happened during the period what they call the intertestamental period. This is from between the last book of Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and then to the time of Jesus. All right, and roughly the timing between there is about 400 years. 400 years. And it's often known as the silent years or 400 years silent years. Why? Because no prophets spoken any word, at least not officially recorded. All right, that during that period, no prophets, nothing, as if God has gone silent totally, right, after the book of Malachi. And then, of course, when John the Baptist came and Jesus came, everything is back on the way it carries on. So 400 years of silence. Right. So today, rather than talking about church or and buildings and so on, I want to turn it into what it means to have a life dedicated to God. Dedicated to God. Why do I say it like that? Because it is about ourselves, our dedication, a personal dedication to God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" So I'm not talking about the physical temple, I'm talking about our bodies, our lives, ourselves being the temple of the Holy Spirit. "Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." That is what I mean by personal dedication. Honoring God with our lives, with our bodies. Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the American Declaration of the Independence? Well, I found a bit of a history. Apparently, 56 of them, five signers, were captured by the British as traitors, tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army for independence. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship during the Revolutionary War. These 56 people, 56 men who signed this Declaration of Independence, they pledged their lives to it, even their fortunes and even their honor and their dedication by often paying the price. That was their commitment. Jesus' disciples, we also know, apart from Judas who killed himself, 10 were executed in one form or another. 1 died in exile alone, and that was John. So we are familiar with people who committed themselves to God or to whatever cause or whatever they believe in, and they paid the price. And they paid the price. So a committed, dedicated life begins with a choice. We choose to sign it on the paper. We choose to say yes. We choose to accept. It always begins with a choice. A choice. Now, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, asked the people of Israel of his day, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him." That's what the Israelites committed in Joshua's time. And of course, we read in the story about Hannah. She was praying. The priest thought she was drunk, but she actually quiet mumbling to God. And God gave her a child. And then she turned around and offered Samuel back to God in God's service. That was part of her dedication. And eventually it was Samuel's own personal dedication to God. For us, in the New Testament time, or the Jews in those days, Jews and Gentiles alike, will all begin our walk with God, our Christian walk with God, with a primary decision. A primary decision. That is to follow Jesus. I don't know whether you recall, I was baptized when I was a baby. A young child, so I didn't know much what I was doing, but my parents committed myself. But later on during my confirmation, I say much the same word of pledging my allegiance and to follow Jesus. I have to take that choice myself eventually. Well, I believe there are four things that we need to pay attention to when we talk about a life of dedication. A life of dedication. In some way, you can almost apply it to a husband and wife or some other relationship between parents and children. But this is in the context of God and us. Four things that require us to do in a personal dedication. First one is determination. Determination. I see the determination in Paul's life in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. He said, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Christ took hold of Paul. He changed. He was changed, transformed. He turned around. He dedicated himself, become the apostle for the Gentiles. And he said to himself, "I have not reached there yet, but I'm going to keep striving and striving until I finish my life on earth, finish my commitment and my dedication to God and to Jesus." That's determination. There must be determination to give God's priority. A choice that all of us can make. We are also reminded in Matthew chapter 6, we see an obligation. It tells us, seek first, giving God priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's the priority I'm talking about. Give God priority. And God will bless us and add all the rest of stuff that we can have. So we need to put God first. It means simply that if we have two places to go, sometimes we have to choose to one or the other. Which one will we choose? Make God the first one or the world the first one? Or we have two tasks to do and to perform. Which one do we choose? To do God's work first? Or do other things first. Our determination must be in spite of cost of following Jesus. There is always a cost. And the cost is something we need to pay. So, determination. The second requirement is that personal dedication requires discipline. Discipline. Discipline enables us to carry through with the decision we have just made. We need to have discipline so that we can carry out the decisions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "Since we have these promises, God's promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." We must allow God to prune and to clean and to purify our lives with his word and with the Holy Spirit. That requires determination to follow Jesus in spite of everything. The third requirement that personal dedication requires is devotion to God. Devotion to God. Not like new diamonds, that kind of devotion, but devotion in a spiritual way, in a God and people way. For too many people, Christ is not very real to them. Not even Christianity is meaningful to them. Faith can become a bit like a service level thing and casual kind of thing. So over time, some Christians have been little more than just doing church on Sunday and eating the Lord's Supper with some degree of regularity. It has not meant a new life or new way of living. It has not mean a higher set of values to live by, a life of service or sacrifice to follow Jesus, and hours of meaningful worship, whether privately or corporately. That's not the way Christ intended to set up the church to be like. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reminds us, "Therefore I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." That is our devotion to God. Offering our body as living sacrifice. Not dead sacrifices, dead, wherever they are. But living sacrifice. Our life needs to be a living sacrifice. Well, the last requirement, personal dedication, requires us of discrimination. Now, why use the word not of the kind of discrimination we experience, but rather choosing one or the other. All right? Joshua told God's people to choose you this day, which or whom you will serve. A decision put to the people. Which one to choose? Choose God? Choose the pagan gods or other things and so on? That is a choice. Paul said that we must grow in order we may be able to discern between good and evil. We have to discriminate good away from evil. That is the kind of discrimination I am talking about. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, we as Christians must set our minds on things above. That's another level of discrimination. Again, things that are not above. In John chapter 18, it says, a Christian is a saint. That means that he is one who is set apart. Set apart. He is not of this world, though he is still in the world. There's a quote, I don't know who where it came from. They say, the ship is in the ocean, but the ocean must never be in the ship. Sounds very logical, isn't it? Yeah. And it's like that for a world. You know, we are living in the world, but the world should not be in us. We are in God. We are set apart. We are living sacrifices. So Paul reminds us, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That is the kind of determination and the choice that we need to make. Cling to what is good. Set aside all that is holding us back. Let me conclude then with a couple of verses. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, for we, all of us, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the living sacrifice. That is a commitment we need to make. God has created all of us for a purpose, and we need to walk in it. And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you were bought with a price. Who paid a price? Our Lord Jesus paid a price on the cross. Expensive, costly for him. He bought us back with his life. So glorify God in each of our bodies. To be a dedication to God for what God has done for us. That is our challenge today. Amen.